You might already know that Tom Benson Chevrolet is celebrating 55 years in the automotive business, but you probably don't know that they're also avid hunters and sportsmen, owning and operating the award-winning Benson Farm and Ranch that has produced some of the most outstanding trophy bucks in South Texas. Come by Tom Benson Chevrolet and check out the great deals on certified pre-owned 2010 Silverado pickups, Suburbans, and Tahoes with low mileage and extended warranties. So stop by Tom Benson Chevrolet. They're over at 9400 San Pedro, just two blocks north of Loop 410, and tell them Cable Smith sent you. Alrighty, landowners, are you sick and tired of having your pastures rooted up by those nasty feral hogs? Tired of losing calves and livestock to coyotes and bobcats? Then call on the pros at Nueces Helicopters. They specialize in predator control and cattle herding. Want an idea of how many deer are on your place? Nueces Helicopters also does game surveying and aerial photography. Call Avery Kibbe at 361-537-7703 or check them out at NuecesHelicopters.com and let the pros help you. Visit NuecesHelicopters.com. Razorback Ranch is earning a reputation as the premier wild boar hunting destination in Texas. Located between Dallas and Houston in Crockett, we are the perfect weekend getaway. Family friendly with a game room and flat screen TVs in the cabins, our accommodations are top notch. Select boars ranging from 60 to 200 pounds to bow or rifle hunt. Hunters are welcome to hunt hogs at feeders or chase them through creek bottoms and heavy brush. Call 713-203-3860 or visit RazorbackRanch.com. That's RazorbackRanch.com to book your trophy hog hunt today. Fishing Corpus Christi and the surrounding bays since the 1950s, Captain Pat Hunt is an authority on redfish. A Vietnam veteran who spent 27 years as a teacher and high school basketball coach, he has a passion for sharing a lifetime of knowledge with his customers. Captain Pat provides the bait and tackle and cleans and bags your catch. So make your next trip to the coast a memorable one with Pat Hunt's Fishing Guide Service. He'll be on the water and on the Bull Red, so call 361-776-5332 or visit PatHuntFishing.com. That's Pat Hunt Fishing.com.
Fran and Rita drove from Harlingen. I can't remember how I'm kin to them. But when they tried to plug their motor home in, they blew our Christmas lights. Cousin David knew just what went wrong, so we all waited out on our front lawn. He threw a breaker and the lights came on, and we sang Silent Night, oh, Silent Night, oh, Holy Night. Carved the turkey, turned the ball game on.
A little Robert Earl Keen getting things going for us on this beautiful Texas Christmas morning. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming you to this special Christmas edition of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Hard to believe this is episode 50. We've been at it for almost a year now. Time flies when you're having fun, though. This morning's show is going to be a good one. I've got a little clip from our interview with Michael Waddell that never made it to the airwaves. Just how big a redneck is the bone collector? Well, you'll hear for yourself when he talks about his favorite type of fishing. Then we've got a Lake Texoma Striper report with Captain John Brett of Texoma Striper Fishing. Then we'll visit with Texas Parks and Wildlife's dove program leader Corey Mason as he drops in to talk a little late season dove, which, by the way, opened up this morning in all three zones. I know I'll be out there flinging some lead at some of those late season migrating morning dove. So waterfowl in the morning, dove in the evening, great time of the year, and I'm excited to visit with Corey, as he has his finger squarely on the pulse of our state's dove population. Then we round out the broadcast with an in-depth look at the competition between two great conservation organizations, Delta Waterfowl and Ducks Unlimited. I was recently flipping through the latest edition of Delta Waterfowl magazine, and I came across President Rob Olsom's column titled Delta Waterfowl, Ducks Unlimited, Competition Drives Innovation. And, you know, these are two great organizations that sometimes argue and don't see eye to eye. But at the end of the day, they feed off each other, and the competition is a healthy one. And that's the point of Rob's column, and I've asked him to join us today and discuss his thoughts on the relationship and competition between Delta and Ducks Unlimited. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. A real quick reminder that our Photo of the Year contest is winding down, folks. We've got one more monthly winner to go before we select one photo as our photo of the year. So if you want a chance to be our January winner, all you have to do is email me your best outdoor photo, send it to cablewaco@yahoo.com. Each monthly winner receives a year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News. And of course, you get your photo displayed on my homepage at lonestaroutdoorshow.com. Our monthly winners are also entered into the Photo of the Year contest, which is a full whitetail shoulder mount from GR8 Mounts and a two-day exotic doe unlimited hog hunt at Quattro B Bow Hunting Ranch. So a wonderful prize package we've put together there for you. All you have to do is email me your best outdoor picture to cablewaco@yahoo.com. Well, moving along here this morning, I wanted to give a very special thank you to all of my sponsors during this holiday season. Without them, this show would not be possible, and I appreciate each and every one of y'all more than you know. I also want to thank my wife, Erin, who puts up with all of my out-of-town hunting trips and a garage full of duck decoys and fishing tackle, mounts of dead animals littering the house. I'm sure a lot of y'all are in the same boat, but behind every good man, there's usually a great woman. So thank you, baby. I love you. Well, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, let's get into a little fishing talk with the bone collector Michael Waddell and Captain John Brett of Texoma Striper Fishing. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show Christmas Special.
I see the children round the tree at Christmas as their goodwill and presents they exchange. What is this mystery, this vision that I see when it's Christmas on the range?
Hey Texas bow hunters, did you know there's a ranch designed specifically for you? Located just outside of Dehannes in South Texas, Boaz Man's Quattro B Ranch allows you to test your skills with do-it-yourself bow hunts for trophy whitetail, black buck, awdad, fallow, axis deer, hogs, and others. And after a day in the field, relax in the state-of-the-art lodge equipped with a kitchen, shower, fireplaces, satellite, flat-screen TVs, pool table, barbecue pits, and more. Call 210-827-0681 or visit boazmanbowhunting.com to book your hunt today. That's boazmanbowhunting.com.
Hey, Ticketheads, Les Lundy here, owner and operator of Double Diamond Outfitters, Texas premier outfitting service. I'm currently booking South Texas Trophy Whitetail Hunt, as well as exotic hunts for axis and fallow deer, red stag, and many others. Check out my website at www.huntdoublediamond.com to find out about my West Texas Trophy Awdad and Pronghorn Antelope Hunt. Fall whitetail hunts are going fast, so call me, Wes, at 210-602-3118, or visit huntdoublediamond.com and let me take you on a hunt of a lifetime.
Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms is Texas tried and true, producing the Lone Star State's finest sawgrass for commercial, residential, and wholesale customers for 46 years. They'll even deliver anywhere in Texas. Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms also specializes in hydro seeding, irrigation, and landscape. Call 866-541-8873 or visit BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com, and you'll notice they also offer awesome South Texas dove hunting over their Frio County Turfgrass Farm. It's a dove magnet, baby, so go to BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com today.
Need to buy a trailer? Big Tex Trailers has you covered. From our four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion and to fit every need. Stop by one of our three South Texas locations. Call Affordable Trailers on Northwest Loop 410 in North San Antonio at 210-699-6000 or Affordable Trailers on Highway 87 East in South San Antonio at 210-648-2700. Then there's our new Big Tex Trailer location on I-35 in Buda. Call 512-295-4292 or visit us at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Whitetail hunting is as Texan as cowboy boots, high school football, and country music. And my friends at the scenic Rancho Bayas Rocas offer some of the finest whitetail hunting found anywhere in the Lone Star State. Situated 35 miles northeast of Del Rio on the Edwards Plateau, the Carta Valley landscape is breathtaking, and you'll feel right at home in God's country while you stay at the rustic yet state-of-the-art lodge. Rancho Bayas Rocas offers hunts to fit every budget. So call 713-468-5001 or visit RanchoBayasRocas.net.
This is Angie Becker with Tioga Retrievers. Just wanting to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening to Lone Star Outdoor Show.
And the year before that, Daddy had his heart attack. We spent Christmas Eve in a waiting room. I guess we've been running low on Christmas cheer, but all that is changing this year, 'cause there's a miracle sleeping down the hall. A newborn innocent baby boy, so sweet and small. And
it's all right, Cable Smith, welcoming you back to this morning's broadcast. Merry Christmas to you and yours. One of my favorite holiday tunes there, Zane Williams, Christmas Feels Like Christmas Again. This segment proudly brought to you by Strikeworks Tackle Company, a Texas-based company that has everything you need for a day out on the water. Visit strikeworks.com and save 10% on your entire order when you enter in the promo code LSOS for Lone Star Outdoors Show. Once again, go to strikeworks.com and enter in the code LSOS to save 10% on your entire order. So there you go, ladies, if you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift for your man. Once again, strikeworks.com. Well, before we get into a little fishing talk here, I wanted to share with y'all an absolutely ridiculous story that I read about in a recent edition of Field & Stream magazine. And I'm going to go ahead and read the article to you this morning. So this guy in Christina Lake, British Columbia, thought up the perfect way to keep people away from his marijuana plants. He started putting out bags of dog food to attract bears, and the bears came. But over the years, more and more bears started coming until the authorities began getting calls about all of these bear sightings. So they checked it out and found 17 very sedate black bears hanging around about 1,000 pot plants. The Globe and Mail says a guy named Alan Pichet has taken credit for the ingenious plan. When the news broke, someone started a Facebook page to save the bears, and the public started calling, so British Columbia's Ministry of Environment decided it had to find a politically correct way out of the dilemma. So you know what they did? They took over feeding the bears, only they said they'd slowly reduce the amount of food until the bears moved on. And the best Facebook comment posted was, "Can they do the same to folks who choose to exist on government handouts? You know, slowly take it away until they're forced to find jobs." It sounds to me like that person has it all figured out. Can I get an amen? Well, I want to talk a little fishing with y'all this morning, and we'll start off by playing a clip from my chat with Michael Waddell that never made it to air due to time constraints. Now, we all know that Michael is a cold-blooded professional killer, but that backwoods Georgia boy also likes to wet a line from time to time, and here's what he had to say when I asked him if he enjoyed bass fishing.
I was more of a true 100% redneck fisherman, and bluegill and channel cat and little private ponds, and, you know, but I also did, man, I got big into bass fishing, long ago, a couple summers, and bought all the gear, and man, I thought I was a professional, and matter of fact, thought I was pretty good at bass fishing up to about 3 or 4 years ago. I thought I was pretty good until I actually did a show with Hank Parker, and he completely schooled me. And I did one little fishing tournament on the FLW as a co-partner. I forget how they had it structured. And man, I ain't never been so exhausted and tired after that tournament as I was in my life. So, fisherman, yes. Am I decent? I mean, I can cast lure all right, and I can fish a Texas rig and do decent at jig fishing and throwing a spinner bait and catch a fish or two. But far as being great at it, heck no. I'm a recreational. When their fishermen are telling me they're biting, I go fishing. That's what I do. And outside of that, get some chicken liver or some hot dog and go catch some channel cat with the kids. And when the bream are bedding, I'm there. Or the crappie are biting, I'm there with a little old jig and having fun. But I typically got hot grease on my side because I ain't throwing much back.
Great stuff there from the bone collector, Michael Waddell. Just one of the good old boys. On a more serious note, though, it is time for our Lake Texoma Striper Fishing Report. And here to give us the inside scoop on the legendary Lake Texoma is Captain John Brett of Texoma Striper Fishing. John, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yep, you too.
John, typically December is a fabulous month for striper fishing on Texoma. Now, has that proven to be true this year?
Fishing is excellent right now. Yeah, the fish are aggressive, both on live bait and artificial lures.
Right on. And what depth are you catching most of your big fish?
30 to 35 feet in 40 foot of water.
Okay, so you're obviously using live shad. And then as far as artificial, are you using spoons or slabs?
Sassy shad, just dragging them across the bottom real slow.
And is the bite really just on in the early morning, or are there other times of the day that you're having a lot of success?
They've been active all day because they're getting hungry because they're ready to head up the rivers. They've been pretty hungry, steady all day long. It's better really in the first of the morning because the birds will be working. And then later in the afternoon, the birds will work again to show you where the fish are.
And the birds are obviously feeding on the shad.
Yep, the stripers are chasing the surface.
That is a sorry existence, I tell you what, to be a shad on Texoma, always having to worry about being eaten from above and below.
They always do. You want to be in the middle of the pack, not underneath the rain.
No doubt. Well, John, what else has been going on with you lately?
Nothing. Just, you know, it's Christmas, guys. People are hunting, you know, so it's a little cold right now, but it'll warm up again.
Yeah, but cold weather means good fishing out there on Texoma.
Oh, it's excellent fishing. The water's right about 10 to 12 degrees warmer than it was last year at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So the fishing is still really good.
I tell you what it's not good for is my duck hunting. I was out there this week, 85 degrees in December, mosquitoes, sweating my tail off. Oh, I need some cold weather, man.
It's really gorgeous.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's just not good for waterfowling.
No, not for duck hunting.
Well, John, sounds like the warm weather is keeping things pretty active out there for you. The fish are biting, and I'm looking forward to getting my dad and brother out there. Just trying to get our schedules synchronized here in the next couple weeks, but definitely looking forward to fishing with you.
That'd be great.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it. Y'all be sure to check out Captain John Brett's website at texomastriperfishing.com. Let him take you out on the world's finest striper fishery, the legendary Lake Texoma. John, thanks for coming on the show, and have a Merry Christmas, my friend.
Okay, thanks a lot, and have a Merry Christmas.
All right, talk to you soon.
Take care now.
Well, there he goes, Lake Texoma fishing guide John Brett. We do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking late-season dove with Texas Parks and Wildlife dove and crane program leader Corey Mason. And if you didn't know, late-season dove actually opened up this morning. So Merry Christmas from Texas Parks and Wildlife to all of us dove hunters out there. We'll be right back with Corey Mason. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show Christmas Special.
You'll be due. And I'll ride with your Christmas of white, but I have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Howdy, South Texas. Cable Smith here to tell you about Prusky's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing. USDA inspected and approved, Prusky's offers choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Prusky's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskysmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Prusky's Market, from our smokehouse to your house, the quality you remember with the service you deserve.
Lehman H Feeders has been making the highest quality feeder for 45 years, and it takes 45 years to get 45 years of experience. Manufactured in Texas, we offer feeders for deer, quail, fish, pets, and livestock, and even songbirds. Some of our feeders are still operating in the field after 40 years of use. Makers of the trusted Blind Buddy and Blind Buddy Jr., our feeders are the most durable and user-friendly on the market. Visit www.lehmanhfeeders.com because life's too short to buy a cheap feeder. That's lehmanhfeeders.com.
Texas outdoorsmen are fortunate enough to live in the best hunting state in the Union, as Texas provides some of the finest whitetail and bird hunting found anywhere on God's green earth. And with fall here, hunters are starting to get the fever. Trigger fingers are starting to get that natural curl in it. Feeders and cameras should be set, guns sighted in, honeydews completed with kitchen passes secured, and of course, don't forget about the new gear. And when it comes to gear, there's only one brand to consider, and that's Game Guard. Game Guard has deep Texas roots and works hard to provide the best camouflage products this state has to offer. So ask for Game Guard at your favorite retailer or look them up on the web at GameGuard.net. Game Guard, made for Texas hunters by Texas hunters.
Cable Smith here to tell you about Star S Ranch. Frankly, it's the place to hunt trophy whitetails in Texas. I know because I've been there and seen their huge bruisers firsthand. Featuring top-notch accommodations with 150 to 220 class bucks harvested annually, Star S Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Located in Mason County's beautiful southern Texas hill country, Star S Ranch also offers trophy exotic hunts. Visit www.star-s-ranch.com. That's star-s-ranch.com to book your hunt today.
You might already know that Tom Benson Chevrolet is celebrating 55 years in the automotive business, but you probably don't know that they're also avid hunters and sportsmen, owning and operating the award-winning Benson Farm and Ranch that has produced some of the most outstanding trophy bucks in South Texas. Come by Tom Benson Chevrolet and check out the great deals on certified pre-owned 2010 Silverado pickups, Suburbans, and Tahoes with low mileage and extended warranties. So stop by Tom Benson Chevrolet. They're over at 9400 San Pedro, just two blocks north of Loop 410, and tell them Cable Smith sent you.
This is Don Gresham with Going Fencing and Going Day Hunts. Hope you're having a Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Malakalikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Cable Smith welcoming you back to the program. Hope y'all are having a wonderful Christmas morning and that you're getting to share it with those who mean the most to you. We're actually welcoming in a new member to our family in the upcoming weeks as my brother Jansen is about to tie the knot, and we're thrilled to add Miss Amy Booker to the Smith family. Well, all you dove hunters, listen up, because if you didn't know, Texas Parks and Wildlife has given us a, well, honestly, I can't think of a better Christmas present. As dove season reopened this morning, it goes on for the next 17 or so days, and we're going to get into that in just a second. But first, I need to tell you about Red Leg Outfitters, Northeast Texas' premier waterfowl guiding service. They will flat out put you on the mallards. So check out redlegoutfitters.com to book your hunt today. Well, anyway, like I mentioned, dove season has reopened. It actually reopened this morning. And who better to tell us about the late season than Texas Parks and Wildlife dove program leader Corey Mason. Corey, welcome back to the show.
I appreciate you having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. What's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, we've been getting ready for the regulatory process coming up. Starts early this spring. We go to flyway meetings at the end of February, early March. So starting to move proposals forward there, work on survey and harvest data, and getting ready for the upcoming year and enjoying the current hunting season.
Very nice. And speaking of the current hunting season, I understand that you've got plans to head out to West Texas in search of a mule deer.
I do. I've been fortunate to hunt out in the western part of the state for many years now, and kind of an annual trip my father and I make about a week long, and be heading out there a few days before and after Christmas looking for a big mule deer.
That's awesome. I wish you and your dad the best of luck. Well, I wanted to visit with you about a couple things. I guess the last time we talked was the week before the September dove opener. The season's been closed for some time now, and most of our resident birds have either moved on south or been harvested or educated. So what kind of feedback have you heard from hunters regarding the 2010 dove season thus far?
Well, we had, I guess kind of to answer your question, we had mixed reports from across the state, mostly good with a few folks that saw good numbers of birds. You know, we had a really interesting spring and summer across most of the state. We received good rainfall, which means good production for localized dove. And typically, you know, good dove production locally in Texas means good hunting. We did have good food resources across the state, and I hunted myself in the central zone about the first week of the season. And actually on September the 1st, we're going to go for an afternoon hunt, and we had pretty good rain midday that day, and which was kind of interesting because, you know, right before the south zone opened, we had a hurricane down there. And so, you know, we had a lot of environmental factors going against us, at least on the hunter end. It was a good year to be a bird, lots of food, lots of water, generally speaking, in such a big state, knowing there's always exceptions. But, you know, we had a lot of folks that shot a lot of birds, and we had some folks that had a hard time finding birds, or at least concentrations of birds. A lot of people reported going out and finding, you know, decent numbers of birds, but not big concentrations. And, you know, I would attribute that exactly to there just being a lot of food resources and water on the landscape, so the birds just didn't have to concentrate.
Okay.
But, you know, all in all, it's a good dove season. A lot of people put a lot of birds in the bag and had a good time in the field. So, you know, we can't ask for a whole lot more than that.
Okay. Well, things are about to heat back up as the dove season reopened today, Christmas morning, in all three zones, and the season lasts from today until January 9th in the north and central zones and until January 18th in the south zone. And so I guess the obvious question is, what is the reasoning behind having a split season in Texas? I assume it's to give hunters a chance
at the large numbers of migrating mourning dove, but there's probably more to it than that.
Well, that's a good question. I appreciate you asking that. You know, a lot of folks ask us about late season hunting opportunities. You know, by far the majority of hunting in Texas takes place in the first 2 weeks of season, specifically related to the north and central zone. Some kind of analysis we've done recently over the past about 10 years, just looking at the distribution of hunting opportunities, at least out there, is we found that about 64% of the hunting in the north and central zone takes place in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And of that, about 80%+ takes place in the month of September. The last couple of weeks of season, you know, it's a small percentage of hunters that do that. But that being said, it is a really good opportunity for some of these birds that have really settled into Texas. They've been moving around, of course, in the last part of September, early October through October. But, you know, we do have some resident birds that are still around. Of course, a lot of these are birds, too, from the northern states that have come to Texas on kind of the terminal end of their migration. Some will move on into Mexico, but this is kind of about the end for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have good hunting opportunities this time of the year. You know, there's not much pressure on those birds. They've kind of settled on food resources. You can find pretty good concentrations of birds this time of year. There's not a lot of people chasing them. So the hunting can be really good, and it's not, you know, a lot of the dove hunters don't participate in it, but it is a good opportunity out there.
Yep, most hunters are squarely focused on deer, waterfowl, pheasant, quail, whatever. There's a lot of things going on right now. But like you mentioned, Corey, this is a great opportunity to get back out there and enjoy some awesome late-season wing shooting. Now, as far as behavioral differences, are these dove, are they acting different than, say, you know, the dove that we were shooting in September and October, or does their behavior pretty much stay the same throughout the year?
Well, you know, the birds this time of year, they move a lot, and it does require typically a little bit of legwork to find where the birds are. You know, dove eat relatively the same thing throughout the year. They do like small grains, and most people are aware of. If it's from sorghum to a wild produce something or sunflower or whatever it might be, croton, whatever's available, just a small seeded something they prefer. They do feed a little bit different, though, versus early in the year versus late in the year. Whenever it is cooler temperatures, you know, birds typically tend to eat a little bit more just because they do have a high body temperature. They metabolize that quite quickly, and they need to feed more. They need more caloric intake and carbohydrates just to keep their body fueled. So you typically see a little bit more feeding late season.
Mm-hmm.
They'll certainly water, but maybe not as much as you see, you know, in those September seasons. You know, the very traditional thing is, especially for the evening hunts, is they feed and then they go to water late. But, you know, typically most success can be had this time of year if you can find them concentrated on some kind of food resource. You know, they will feed fairly regularly, and you can be pretty successful doing that.
Okay, Corey, I know you mentioned that 80% of the dove hunting in Texas takes place in September, and of that 64% takes place the first 2 weeks, but do you have it broken down to where you can tell us what percentage of our dove harvest is actually taken during the late season opportunity? I'm sure that it's a very small percentage.
It is. It's typically less than 5%. It depends on the zone and the year, but you know, around that 3-4% is a pretty decent number. I've seen as low as 2, but less than 5%, and kind of an average of 3 across the state. Each zone is a little different. You know, the south zone, the harvest isn't quite as high the first couple of weeks. They sustain harvest later into the year with about a little over 50% taking place the month of September, and then about, you know, 45% roughly, rounding everything off there post-September, with the last few days, you know, being, once again, less than about 5%.
Okay. Corey, last time you were on the show, we talked extensively about our state's dove banning program. You guys banned a lot more white wings, actually, than mourning dove. But as far as the mourning dove are concerned and their migrating patterns, so have you heard reports of banded birds being harvested in Texas that were banded as far north as, say, Michigan or Minnesota?
We have. We have. Our banding records indicate some really interesting stuff. We've seen just this season, I'm aware of a few birds that have been shot that were banded in North Dakota. Of course, when I say they've been shot in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shoot quite a few birds from Nebraska and Oklahoma as well. With kind of a sprinkling of birds up and down the central flyway or central management unit. With North Dakota being about the furthest north, at least, the last couple of years we've had some birds that we banded that are migrating further south that are also interesting. Deep into Mexico, we have a white-winged dove that we banded one or 2 years ago that was recovered in Nicaragua.
Oh,
so
wow.
These birds are they have the ability to move quite quickly when they're ready to.
Very interesting stuff. Corey, I guess that's about all I have for you as far as dove is concerned this morning. You know, I'll be out there at least 2 or 3 days during the late season giving it a go.
Myself, I'll be out enjoying it as well.
Well, one other thing while I've still got you on the phone, your title with Texas Parks and Wildlife is actually Dove and Sandhill Crane Program Leader. And Corey, I was able to head out to the Panhandle for the pheasant opener this season, and while I was out there, I was fortunate enough to smack my first limit of sandhills, and it seemed like there were a lot of birds out there, but what's your take on the numbers for this year?
Numbers of cranes, sandhill cranes are doing very well. You know, they're very extensively studied birds as far as migration and movements and kind of the limiting factors of those birds, and a few kind of interesting things about these sandhill cranes, particularly if you were hunting up in the northern part of the state in the Panhandle region, is, you know, some of those birds spend a portion of their life even as far into Russia, Siberia. They move just a tremendous amount. But as far as numbers of cranes, crane numbers pretty much as a whole, of course, like most bird species, there are some subspecies like Canada geese, various things that use different portions of the northern United States for different nesting grounds. But sandhill cranes as a whole are doing quite well.
Uh-huh. And with the sheer number of sandhill cranes that winter in the Panhandle, and just from being out there, it seems like every sandhill crane in the world has got to be wintering right here in Texas. So I guess my question is, does Texas have the most highly concentrated population of wintering birds?
It is. Texas is by far the wintering ground to by far the majority of sandhill cranes in the United States.
Okay.
And we harvest in excess of pretty much cumulative more than all the other states combined of sandhill cranes.
Well, they are some delicious eating, man. I tell you what.
It is, and they're fun to hunt. You know, a decoy sandhill crane is a pretty awesome sight.
Right on. Well, hey, Corey, we're out of time, but good luck on your mule deer hunt, and have a Merry Christmas, and thanks for dropping in this morning.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me today.
We'll touch base with you soon.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, Texas Parks and Wildlife, Dove and Crane Program Leader Corey Mason. We do have to take a quick break when we come back. Delta Waterfowl and Ducks Unlimited, friends or foes? We'll get Delta Waterfowl President Rob Olson's take on the situation. When we come back, you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show Christmas Special.
I came across a box in a closet, held together with old packing tape. And inside was my prized collection, plastic heroes in every size and shape, a wily bunch of misfits, like some families we all know. And there under an ersatz Batman was my old friend, G.I. Joe. And I had taken a fine point marker and given him a small tattoo, the word Mom and a heart on his shoulder, like a real G.I. might do. And I remembered that Christmas morning, Mom smiling warm and nice, knowing she got what I wanted, and knowing she only paid half price.
From gun dog training to obedience and deer tracking programs, Ray Retrievers has it all. Boarding, training, and group and private lessons, morning or evening, will accommodate you and your dog. Owner Deborah Lee has 30 years experience in gun dog and obedience training and has recently added Amanda Farrell to the training staff to offer even more intensive training capabilities. With numerous ponds, creeks, boats, and duck blinds, we offer the most realistic training available. Go to www.rayretrievers.com for all your dog training and boarding needs. That's www.rayretrievers.com.
A place to shoot is South Texas's premier shooting facility. We have a complete rifle range featuring 5 different distances out to 300 yards. A pistol range with gravity-fed targets, skeet, trap, crazy quail, and country doubles. We offer everything for the shooting sportsman. New and used firearms, reloading supplies, scopes, and ammo. If we don't have it, we can usually get it within 2 days. Also offering CHL classes, located just outside Loop 410 on Morrison Boulevard in South San Antonio. Call 210-628-1888. A place to shoot, open 7 days a week. Call 210-628-1888.
Lock Hill Feed Store is South Texas' premier feed store. We carry a variety of feeds, including extra clean deer corn that won't clog your feeders, as well as large and small deer pellets. Also featuring Country Acre Deer Block, Record Rack, Golden Deer Nuggets, and the best-selling berry-flavored ACCO Deer Block. Conveniently located in San Antonio. Pick up a 35-pound bag of Science Diet Premium Dog Food for only $29.99. Call Lock Hill Feed Store at 210-691-2351. That's 210-691-2351. Or call toll-free at 877-738-5296. Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
You just ground checked that trophy 12 point, only to realize you can't get him back to camp because your ATV has a flat. Well, multi-seal tire sealant protects against punctures in the tread and sidewall of your tires. It seals bead and valve stem leaks, prevents rust and corrosion, lasts for the life of the tire, and so much more. See for yourself at multi-seal.com or call 281-591-0111. So whether it's your pickup, tractor, truck, or ATV, protect yourself with a Texas name you can trust. Multi-seal tire sealants. That's multi-seal.com. Diamond M Whitetails is Texas' premier whitetail deer breeding facility. Our bloodlines include the likes of Sudden Impact, Little Russ, and Chick Magnet, who scored over 360 as a two-year-old. Located southeast of Victoria in Inez, Diamond M Whitetails is also a trophy hunter's paradise, offering high fence or low fence hunts with state-of-the-art stands, protein feeders, and numerous food plots. Our guides will put you on the buck of your dreams. Visit DiamondMWhitetails.com to book your hunt today or call 713-408-0155. That's DiamondMWhitetails.com.
Hey, this is Kevin Van Dam, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Come, they told me, pour up a bum bum. Our newborn king to see, pour up a bum bum. Our finest gifts we bring.
Good morning, good morning, and a very Merry Christmas to you. I'm Cable Smith, and you're tuned into the most educational, conservation-minded, and entertaining outdoor programming on the airwaves. This is the Lone Star Outdoor Show Christmas special. Bob Seger's Little Drummer Boy bringing us back from break here. And this segment is proudly brought to you by Diamond Sports Marine, the number one Ranger and War Eagle boat dealer. Stop by their Lake Fork or Rockwall location or check them out at DiamondSportsMarine.com. Well, much has been made in recent weeks about Delta Waterfowl President Rob Olson's column, Delta Waterfowl, Ducks Unlimited, Competition Drives Innovation. And it's no secret that Delta and DU don't always see eye to eye. And Rob's take on it is that it isn't always a bad thing. And to elaborate further, we've got Rob on the phone. So, Rob, thanks for joining us, and Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Cable. Great to be here.
You know, we've had on Delta's Predator Control leader, Joel Bryce, and obviously Senior Vice President John Devney a couple times now, but this is our first time to have you on the show. So it's a pleasure to finally have the president on.
I'm thrilled to be talking to you, Cable. It's great.
Well, Rob, first of all, how was your waterfowl season? I know that winter is pretty much full on up there by now.
Yep.
So I assume there aren't any ducks left in your neck of the woods.
No, there's no ducks left here. I'm up here in Manitoba, up in Canada, on the breeding grounds, and it is frozen solid. We got a couple feet of snow. Really record snowfall, which is good for next year, by the way.
Uh-huh.
For ponds and for water. But no, the ducks are long gone. We had a pretty great season up here, Cable. It was good across a lot of the prairies and all the way down through Dakotas. I heard more positive reports than negative. Not surprising, because it was wetter than heck up here, and ducks were nesting real hard. And in a real wet year up here nowadays in Canada, the ducks can kind of overcome some of the high predation rates we got because they just keep nesting real hard and just overcome it.
Uh-huh.
So I think guys ought to see a good flight, you know, decent hatch, I think, and then hard freeze and a good hard freeze all the way down through Dakotas. So those ducks are somewhere between Kansas and you right now, and hopefully guys are catching up with a few down there. It ought to be.
So far the season's had its moments, but I typically love hunting in January more than in any other month. Our second split's usually a lot better, but I tell you what, the warm weather, I mean, it was 85 degrees the other day. It's just been killing us down here. That being said, I expect January to be really good.
I would hope and I would guess. I look forward to seeing what the results are of the whole season, Cable, but my guess is it ought to be decent. I mean, there was a pretty good flight coming out of here, so they had to go somewhere. You know, so hopefully it was decent for people.
Well, Rob, did you get any bands this season? I'm always so jealous of you northern guys. It seems like that's where all the mallards are banded, and it seems like y'all always have quite a few on your lanyards.
I didn't, but I tell you what, I'm not a good barometer. I had probably the least amount of duck hunting in my life in 40 years of being around it. I had almost very little duck hunting. Just my, like a lot of folks, I'm in a busy time of life right now with my little guy, and my wife and I are kind of rebuilding the house and all this kind of stuff. So those ducks were kind of safe for me. So no bands, but I do hope to make up for that next fall, and I surely intend to.
Well, it's cyclical. You know, you've got a little one of your own, and before you know it, he'll be out in the duck marsh with you.
Well, I hope he'll be taking me pretty soon. I'm hoping so.
He's going to leave you out there in a wheelchair. Huh? Oh, man. Well, Rob, let's get into what I really wanted to discuss this morning.
You bet.
I'm always pumped when I go to the mailbox and the latest edition of Delta Waterfowl magazine is there waiting for me. I opened it up and was reading, just flipping through and came across the president's message. That's your column.
Yep.
And the title of this column was Delta Waterfowl, Ducks Unlimited, Competition Drives Innovation.
Yeah.
And I thought the article did a really good job of kind of explaining the situation that everyone knows about, but for some reason, nobody wants to talk about.
Right. Well, yeah, it's a deal where if you're a big supporter of conservation, you for sure know about Ducks Unlimited, you know, one of the best conservation groups in the world, likely at this point, and been doing stuff for a long time. And you probably know about Delta too. You know, maybe we've been around doing stuff in the public eye, probably a little bit less than DU, of course. But you know about both, and then you probably know there's been some conflict or debates, in the past, 50 years. and I think so. I get a lot of feedback. The reason I wrote that column really, Cable, was that I travel around a lot around North America talking to duck hunters, and folks in the know understand there's debates and conflict between the two groups, and they want to know why. And more to the point, why can't you just get along, work together, you know, for the betterment of all of us? And I think those are great questions, and that's why I wrote the column, to really try to start to provide answers to that pretty reasonable question, and then moreover propose something better, and try to have the situation be in a little better place, and so that's why I wrote it. And I tell you, I was not really prepared for the feedback I've got, Cable. I've had a ton of feedback, and it's all been positive. And my personality and Delta's organizational personality is just to put stuff on the table and have a conversation, not be afraid of it. And I think in life in general, when you have a tough dynamic going on, the best thing to do is to talk about it and just get on with it. And look, I think there's a great story to tell, and I think there's a great potential better partnership between the organizations to come in the future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you mentioned, Delta's mindset is just get it out there, let's talk about it. And that's my favorite thing about the organization is how willing y'all are to just go against the grain, make no apologies about it.
Right.
You know, and I'm just going to read part of the article here.
Go for it.
You know, you say, I pledge to all supporters of conservation that we will be rugby-minded about this conservation work as we go forward. We'll continue to give credit where credit is due, whether it's to Ducks Unlimited or government agencies, and be openly critical of policies that don't advance the causes of ducks and duck hunting. And there it is, you know. We're not making apologies. That's the stance that the organization was founded on, and to this day, y'all, that's the way you still conduct your business.
Well, it's what we're paid to do, Cable. Like, we have an internal mandate that we're not allowed to accept anything more than a tiny fraction of our annual budget from government sources. And the reason we do that is that we need to be completely independent to be able to follow the science and say and do the things we need to do for the betterment of ducks and duck hunters. And it's not always comfortable. Sometimes our science or our thoughts or our work takes us to places where we see something going on where maybe it's a hard conversation. Maybe it points out something that's a bit tougher. And look, you know, we can't be beholden to anyone but a duck hunter. You know, we can't be beholden to foundations that maybe don't support hunting that much or a bit nervous about it. And we can't be beholden to government. So we're fiercely independent, but that doesn't mean we should be unfriendly or unprofessional.
Right.
And it's a balancing act, and it's a hard one. You know, we have to lobby government every day where needed, but we also have to support them and try to be as friendly as we can. And it's our personality to be friendly and be that way. On the other hand, it's also our mandate and our personality to hold the line on hard issues. And so that's tough. And look, Delta's interactions with Ducks Unlimited is similar. You know, we have a mandate to give them full credit and be positive about them, and it's not real hard to do. They're a great group, right?
Right.
Doing key stuff that nobody else can do, so it's not real hard. But then, look, there's times we have debates, like on predator management, for example. you know, our science has been fairly clear on that, and we're adamant that there's a role for that tool in the toolbox of waterfowl managers. They have felt differently, and we've had a real debate with them on that. Mm-hmm. Well, we couldn't back off that. Mm-hmm. You know, we there's no way that we could take a half inch step back on the science that we've discovered, and we won't. And so that may cause debates. Part of my point in the column cable is I think, you know, we got to be able to have debates, and getting along is important and really, really outstanding. And that's great, but you also have to have debates and you have to call spade a spade. And so somewhere in there, there's middle ground cable that we're always trying to find.
Right.
Not always easy.
No, it's not. You know, there's a common goal and that's the bottom line, but how we
right
get
on.
There, we don't always take the same path.
And we better not take the same path, Cable, eh? Like, you know, why in the world would two organizations do the same things? Mm-hmm. And why in the world would we think one organization can do everything for us as duck hunters?
Right.
You know, it makes a ton of sense. You know, you've got the biggest, best sort of habitat group in the world there in DU doing their thing and doing it better than anybody can. And then you've got Delta doing the stuff that really fits us, small, independent, hard-nosed. Well, that's a good group to take on predator management.
Mm-hmm.
Probably makes a lot of sense for us to take that on. And I think that there's a really intelligent sort of relationship brewing there between the two that makes an awful lot of sense. And it's funny too, Cable, everything works well until you introduce the almighty dollar. You know what I mean? Like on paper, it looks good. And then you get competing for money and it can create hard feelings. And that's where, you know, I think we need to embrace competition in the duck hunting world and say, look, it's good on some levels that DU and Delta compete for dollars. It makes us better. It makes us lean and responsive to the duck hunting customer client. And we are customers as duck hunters. We ought to be seen that way.
Uh-huh.
And so competition for dollars, I think, is positive, except there's times where it can get a little bit too heavy and heated. And in those times, we have to be gentlemen about that and manage that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the onus, I think, falls on groups like Delta and DU to really be gentlemanly. And I, of course, use rugby and hockey metaphors because that's what I know.
Yeah.
That's what we play up here, right? And at any rate, there's a way to do it, Cable. It's doable.
And, you know, you sum it up in the article. You go out there, beat the crap out of each other on the rugby pitch. But when it's all said and done, you head over to the local pub and tip up a pint and you leave it all on the field.
It works good for us rugby guys. I think it'll work in conservation. And look, you know, at the end of the day, the last thing that you want to see out there, the worst possible thing, is having volunteers for both organizations in places like Texas, Louisiana, fighting each other over these issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, if you're a Delta volunteer, a DU volunteer in Texas, you're probably the same kind of guy. You're a duck hunter, you got a lab, you got a boat, and you love it. And so I think what I'd like to not see happen is when Delta and DU are having a debate about something like predator management, I'd like to see the volunteers for organizations down there, you know, don't take that on each other. I'd say sit back, ask great questions, and I think put the onus on the two organizations to work out that debate.
Well,
you know, and hold us accountable to that.
And I'll tell you up front that I'm involved with both organizations on a volunteer level, and I think sometimes people think you've got to choose one or the other, but the bottom line is, no, you don't. You can be involved with both organizations. Whether you side more on the beliefs of Delta or DU doesn't really matter to me, because the bottom line is, they're both necessary. And I think you really sum it up wonderfully in the article when you say conservation delivery is most effective when it's competitive and its accomplishments are transparent.
Yes. I think part of the thing competition drives, for if you're a duck hunter in Texas and you got two organizations that are vying for you to support them. And by the way, I think every serious duck hunter should support both. Absolutely. I do. Everybody should.
Mm-hmm.
Every duck hunter in Texas needs both organizations. I firmly believe that. But you know, yeah, I think if you've got two organizations vying for you as a client, you know, you get more. And you get things like transparency. You get to be able to ask questions and find out, well, what are you doing with my money? Where exactly do you spend my contribution for Delta and DU? And I think you get that, and you get more of that, frankly. So that's good. It's a positive thing, and it makes our both organizations better. It pushes us to be better. And, you know, as long as we can keep it friendly and gentlemanly and all that, I think it's good. And then work more and work together on an increasing basis. We should be working way more together than we are right now, in my view.
So, in your opinion, you know, obviously the relationship between Delta and DU could be better. Well, do you think DU shares the opinion that you voiced in this article?
I don't know. know. You know, that's a great question. I've got a good relationship with some of the senior folks there, and we talk a fair bit, and there's a ton of good people over there I talk to relatively regularly, I guess you'd say. And I don't know how they view it. I think they probably have a lot of different views. You know what, Cable? You should get them on and ask them that question.
Yeah.
It'd be great for them to tell you that themselves. I think it's probably a pretty varied answer, and you know, it's probably fairly new too, Cable. You know, we've been around a long time doing research and being very, very specifically just doing duck research. Well, we're pretty different today. We're doing a lot of different things. You know, we're starting up chapters and we're increasingly showing up in the marketplace in places. And so there might be something going on here too, a little bit, Cable, where, you know, if you're a pizza store across the street and you've been the only pizza store for a long time and then a new place opens, you're just down the block, it might take a little while for that to feel normal or right.
All right.
There may have to be some time go by before that kind of is fully absorbed and accepted. But the reality is Delta's here. Delta's not going anywhere. Delta's going to grow. DU obviously is everywhere. There's duck hunters. They're everywhere, and they're well-known and well-respected. So, yeah, we're going to have to learn to get along better because neither is going away. And look, the challenges that we both face are not going away.
Mm-mm.
And we're facing huge challenges. Duck hunters in Texas are facing massive coastal issues. A lack of ducks. You've got a massive problem up here where you're losing duck production in Canada every day.
Oh, yeah.
Your conservation reserve program in Dakotas that's been saving your duck hunting, in my opinion, is in decline. There are huge issues facing duck hunting. Predation rates are astronomical up here. So Texas hunters have all these big challenges they're fighting every single day. Urbanization, loss of hunting areas, and so on and so on and so on. You got to have both groups focused on solving your problems, and we got to work better together than ever to solve those, because the problems are massive. Mm-hmm. And as big as DU is, and if you combine Delta with it and you work together and you get all the hunters together, collectively we're still a tiny voice. So we can't afford to be apart a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to have any big time success on this continent. So,
well, there's strength in numbers, that's for sure.
Well, it's our only chance, Cable. There's not many guys like us and gals. There's very few of us.
Yeah.
You know, so we're fighting these large forces like ag policy and urbanization and all these kinds of things and restrictive gun laws and so on and so on. Strength in numbers is essential. Competition's good. We got to maintain good, healthy debate, but we got to figure out how to work together a little bit better than we have. I mean, I think that's for sure.
Right on.
And look, as duck hunters in Texas, you can demand that. I promise you, if you demand it, we'll do it. I'm open to it.
Well, I think it's a great article, and I've enjoyed visiting with you, but I am going to ask you one more question that was posed by one of our listeners.
Yeah.
I think it's a good one, and he says, what can we do at local levels to support conservation? Don't get me wrong, I like the banquets and get-togethers, but it seems we are preaching to the choir at those events, and one chapter activity, like a youth shooting clinic, doesn't seem like a material impact. So, what can Delta do to encourage and enable chapters at the local level to increase awareness and improve habitat?
Yeah.
And Rob, don't get me wrong here, you know, because I'm a huge fan of the banquets and they serve their purpose, but a lot of times it's the same crowd that you see at the Delta and DU banquets, and it just seems like it's a struggle to get new blood involved.
I'll tell you what, there's a few things that jump to mind. And the one thing I will say, at the local level, anywhere in North America, if you're a local duck hunter and you want to do something huge, introduce a brand new person to hunting, not necessarily taking someone who already hunts.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a brand new person out and get a new person hunting, you plant an entirely new tree that's going to bear fruit forever. And so we've got to, and it's hard to do, because in places like Texas, for example, you get people say, gosh darn it, I don't want another person at my boat lamp. I have enough hunting pressure. So look, that may not fit everybody, but the reality is even in places like Texas, we're losing participation. So that's a huge one for me. You know, if you can get a new tree planted, that's a big one. We're launching a new program called First Hunt here in the next few weeks. That's going to help people. It's going to help people at the local level do that. How do you do that exactly? We've got a bunch of ideas about that. The other big one that Delta can do and DU can do as well is, and this is something that we want to launch this year as well, we want to get all the folks at the chapter level in a place like Texas and connect them together in a group of people that can do things locally.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of doing anything good in Texas is that all politics are local, and everybody knows that. And so no matter what Delta says about what the right thing to do in Texas is based on science, if you don't have a local constituency kind of pushing that, you're not going to get any real change happening. Well, that's something we can do, Cable. We can do it in Texas. We're doing it a lot of other places. I think Texas is a prime place that we want to sort of start to do more of that and launch this concept. And it's going to be something we're going to formally name. It's a program that we're going to bring to the fore in the coming year, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to start it in Louisiana, Texas.
Awesome.
And people are tired of getting together just for fundraising, eh, Cable?
Oh, no doubt. But like you mentioned, the banquets are necessary. No money, no programs. But we've got to do more.
We got to do more, and you know what I think too. I got a suspicion. I know it works this way for me as a Delta volunteer up here. If you start to do more locally and you actually see benefits from it, I bet you're more excited about the fundraiser.
Rob, that is for sure, my friend. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this morning. I'll have you back on the program to talk about that new campaign that you'll be launching here in Texas and Louisiana. So I look forward to having you back on the show to talk about that in detail. Thanks so much, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, that'll be my pleasure, Cable. And man, this has been fun. I apologize if I talk too long. I get fired up about that stuff. I'll get ranting on you.
Oh, don't worry about that. The more information, the better.
Merry Christmas to you, Cable, and all your listeners. Take care now.
Well, there he goes, Delta Waterfowl President Rob Olson. Hope y'all enjoyed that and found it as informative as I did. We are out of time for this morning. Thanks to our guest, Captain John Brett, TPWD's Corey Mason, and of course, Rob Olson. Next week, we'll visit with bass fishing legend Roland Martin, among other things. I promise you, you won't want to miss that. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoor Show Christmas special. I'm Cable Smith saying Merry Christmas, and y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
My true love sent to me.
Jimmy, are you listening?
What?
You can't say Christmas.
Why not? If you can say hell on the last record, why can't I say Christmas?
I didn't make the rules.
Hey, listen, guys, it's not that difficult. All you got to do is change Christmas to holiday. You know, instead of saying white Christmas, you say, I'm dreaming of a white holiday. Why did I get bleeped?
You've got to say Caucasian.
So I have to sing, I'm dreaming of a Caucasian holiday?
Sure, that won't offend anyone.
This is so stupid.
Whatever you say the word,
I think it's
what you say. Why can't you say Christmas?
Offended, well, that's okay.
Why do these people have to feel that way? How come they get offended so easily?
It's a completely non-offensive and politically correct holiday.
I'm just trying to come up with a song here.
Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's Sutton County, McPherson 4M Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and axis, fallow, and blackbuck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also part of the experience at McPherson 4M Ranch. Call 210-822-2915. That's 210-822-2915, or visit McPherson 4MRanch.com today.
Alrighty, landowners. Are you sick and tired of having your pastures rooted up by those nasty feral hogs? Tired of losing calves and livestock to coyotes and bobcats? Then call on the pros at Nueces Helicopters. They specialize in predator control and cattle herding. Want an idea of how many deer are on your place? Nueces Helicopters also does game surveying and aerial photography. Call Avery Kibbe at 361-537-7703 or check them out at NuecesHelicopters.com and let the pros help you. Visit NuecesHelicopters.com. You might already know that Tom Benson Chevrolet is celebrating 55 years in the automotive business, but you probably don't know that they're also avid hunters and sportsmen. Owning and operating the award-winning Benson Farm and Ranch that has produced some of the most outstanding trophy bucks in South Texas. Come by Tom Benson Chevrolet and check out the great deals on certified pre-owned 2010 Silverado pickups, Suburbans, and Tahoes with low mileage and extended warranties. So stop by Tom Benson Chevrolet. They're over at 9400 San Pedro, just two blocks north of Loop 410, and tell them Cable Smith sent you.
Listen up, ticket heads. When you harvest that Walworthy trophy, there's only one choice, Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com.
Are you looking for the perfect way to get around your ranch or lease? Bad Boy Buggies of the Hill Country and B3HC Outfitters have a full line of electric four-wheel drive Bad Boy Buggies, and we customize it the way you want it. Gun and bow racks, off-road lighting, even feeders. We can add them all to your Bad Boy. Also, specializing in custom metal arts and gate signs, as well as custom golf carts for street and off-road applications. Conveniently located in San Marcos, call 512-667-6005 or visit www.b3hc.com. That's b3hc.com.
Diamond M Whitetails is Texas' premier white-tailed deer breeding facility. Our bloodlines include the likes of Sudden Impact, Little Russ, and Chick Magnet, who scored over 360 as a two-year-old. Located southeast of Victoria in Inez, Diamond M Whitetails is also a trophy hunter's paradise, offering high-fence or low-fence hunts with state-of-the-art stands, protein feeders, and numerous food plots. Our guides will put you on the buck of your dreams. Visit DiamondMWhitetails.com to book your hunt today or call 713-408-0155. That's DiamondMWhitetails.com.